Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast from the International Motorsports Association and Radio Show Limited.
It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission. Live from Trackside, this is IMSA Radio.
Hello everybody, welcome back to Watkins Glen International. It seems only a few days since we were last here. Oh wait, that's because it is only a few days since we were last here. This is the replacement event for Canadian Tire Motorsport Park Thursday and Friday for Michelin Pilot Challenge and for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. And that's where we start. Exclusive live coverage of the one, the only 60-minute free practice session for iWisk, and it's live here on IMSA Radio. 3, 2, 1.
The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
In the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre, my name's John Hindhoff. Jeremy Shaw is with me. Let's check in first of all, though, with our VP Racing Fuels pit and paddock reporter, Shea Adam, who has been hunting down all the stories because, Shea, for some teams, it was not the best weekend last weekend. We had a WeatherTech Porsche go up in flames. We had cars damaged from hitting the wall. What's the situation with those who struggled, and how many cars are we going to see?
Well, to put it simply, first and foremost, everybody who hit trouble last week is ready to go. Yay! For practice and qualifying today. Yep, big celebration as far as that's concerned. We've got 6 cars in the DPI category. None of them had issues in the race, so we will continue on to LMP2. Tower Racing by Starworks and their Orica. Big crash with Gabby Aubrey behind the wheel exiting turn one. That tub was not damaged. That car has been repaired, and it is ready to proceed. We have 6 cars in the LMP3 category, and of those 6, we were concerned about Performance Tech. They had another engine issue, their second of the year, and they did have a lot of struggle trying to procure a new engine to get to the Watkins Glen 6-hour event, the Saline 6 Hours. Well, they managed to get a new engine off of a plane in JFK, a 12-hour round-trip drive to go claim it. They got it in the car Monday afternoon, and the team was even able to take yesterday off as a team to go hike the gorge for a little bit of team bonding. So congratulations to Performance Tech. Brent and Gwen O'Neill's boys and girls doing a fantastic job there. You mentioned the WeatherTech Porsche that we saw lap 2 have issues with Cooper McNeil behind the wheel, a big conflagration in the pit lane ultimately when that car got back. The car fully repaired and ready to go. Now Proton, who runs that car, do have a second chassis on hand. They did not need to use it, though. That's the best news. So Matt Campbell will get to race in this week's contest, as he's missed out on last weekend. Now, the other car that was big concern, Grasser Racing with their Lamborghini. Lamborghinis are at a premium right now because of the COVID-19 shutdowns over in Italy. Spare parts have been difficult. New chassis have been difficult. And Grasser has already gone through 2 chassis this year. This is their third. They got it from Dream Racing. And Misha Goikberg, with a big accident coming out of the final turn last week, that car fully repaired and ready to go as of Monday night. And even with a little bit of a new livery on it too, John. So I'm very pleased to say that all of the cars from last week that had issues, they're all back and ready to rumble.
Jeremy Shaw is with, that's extraordinary stuff. Jeremy Shaw is with me in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. We're back to standard length here, Jeremy. So 2 hours 40 tomorrow, Friday, for the race. And important to point out that for GT Daytona, this is points going round only for the Sprint Challenge Championship for 2021.
Yeah, indeed so, which is new for this year, because in the this race is a make-up for not being able to go to Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, but in the past Canadian Tire Motorsport has always been a championship race, so not quite sure when that I must admit I missed that decision until today, in fact. So that accounts for the fact that the number 16 number 9 and the number 16 Porsches in GTD, despite the Porsche notes for the weekend, PR notes for the weekend, and number 44 Magnus Racing Acura are not here this weekend, because it isn't a full season championship round for a GTD. So that's the kind of the bad news. Three regular cars missing there, but we do have, of course, because it is a sprint race, we have number 39 back again. They did the long distance race last weekend just to get some more preparation for here, because there is just the one practice session prior to qualifying, so very little track time for GT Daytona. That's why they were here last week. But number 66 car, and which is the Gradient Racing Acura, and the number 76 Compass Racing Acura, they are both here this weekend. So we're plus we have a new entry, which is great. Always great to see new entries in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Gilbert Courthoff Motorsports, who have run some prototype challenge races in the past. They've got a brand new Mercedes AMG GT3 car, which they're going to run for a couple of veteran drivers in Guy Cosmo and Shane Lewis. And this is the first race for Shane Lewis in this series since 2014, I think. So it's been a while for Shane. So welcome back to him and also to Guy Cosmo, who's had, of course, success in the past. So that's great to see that new entrance into the championship. So we have 12 GTD cars here this weekend, John.
And what we should have said, for those of you not here at Watkins Glen, is it's absolutely persistently raining at Watkins Glen International, and has been for some time. There was an accident in the IMSA prototype challenge session just before this, cars falling off the circuit. That was ended early. And the track is very wet indeed. Large rooster tails of spray coming up from behind all of the cars that are out on the circuit. And this is another offset session, Shea Adam.
So for right now, the green flag is out as of about 2 minutes ago. From 2:05 to 2:35 Eastern, if you are in GTD, LMP3 or LMP2, silver or bronze drivers only. In LMP2, it's bronze drivers actually only. At 2:20, the professionals will be released in the form of GTLM and DPI. They're allowed on track until 3:20, 1 hour's worth of running. The GTD, LMP3 and LMP2 session, 1 hour long, but it's split up. Your AMs have to go out for the first half an hour, and then in the second half an hour, you're allowed to put your pros out there as well. And I am indebted to Aaron Siegel, who sent me a text message and said, Core Autosport, they skip morning warm-up quite frequently. They're not skipping this practice session. John Bennett is out right now in the 54 Ligier, because this track time is far too valuable. The conditions as they are right now, well, this is what we expect for qualifying, and more importantly, this is what we expect for the race.
At IMSA Radio, if you want to get in touch with us here in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre, windscreen wipers are going in. No, it really is that bad. This looks like a different season and a different hemisphere from where we were last week, when track temperatures were well into triple digits in the Fahrenheit scale, and it was absolutely gorgeous. Now, we've had severe weather yesterday and today here at the Glen, but this session is the only session for the only free practice session before we go to qualifying. So you miss this, you don't have any chance to go out before we go qualifying. And we start with an hour and 15 on the clock. And of course, as Shea's just mentioned, the stagger in this, the number 39, AudiTireCentre.com, GT Daytona, heading into the bus stop at the moment. And that is one of the cars that has a rearward facing camera rather than a rear view mirror. It's got side door mirrors, of course. But it looks at the moment as if somebody has disconnected that. because behind the car is so efficient in its aerodynamics that it is just a white wall behind that car at the moment. An extraordinary thing for the driver. No chance at all to see what is going on behind them. And the wipers. Now, you never put the wipers on unless you absolutely have to, because all it does is smears the windscreen. You use various preparations on the windscreen. You've got the tear-off sheets as well. And everyone, you have water repellent on that to try and make it that you don't have to put the wiper on. So for a racing driver, using the wiper is a last resort. And Jeremy, at the moment, everybody who's out there has got the wipers on. That tells you how bad it is. This is not psychological rain. This is real rain, and they'll all be out on Michelin wets.
Yes, indeed. And the other good remedy for misted advisor is potato. Cut potato. I digress. You're right. Really nasty conditions out there, and they've had a lot of severe weather blowing through the Watkins Glen Finger Lakes region over the last several days. So there's certainly quite a few rain showers in the forecast. Hopefully they won't be the severe weather that would cause major interruptions to the schedule. Right now it's just pretty nasty out there. And of course, this is a sort of track where it's a high commitment track, and it's really, really treacherous in these sort of conditions, particularly the fact we had a 6-hour race last weekend and a 4-hour race and four other around about 50-minute races. So there's a lot of track time last weekend. A lot of rubber was laid down. That has now been kind of washed away. And as we can see, there's some rivers running across the track, particularly down right on the turn in at turn one. It's always treacherous going up through the S's. Turn five, turn six are particularly difficult as well. And even turn seven down at the toe of the boot, we often get rivers running across the track there. So this is it's not a track for the faint of heart at the best of times. And right now, it's you've really got to have your wits about you.
It's Jeremy Shaw is in the Hackney Global Broadcast Centre with me, John Hindhoff. Great to have your company wherever you are around the world. For the sake of probity, and because I can, I'll give you some times. Not sure what we're going to learn from these, Jeremy. Roman De Angelis in the heart of racing, Aston Martin is quickest on a 2:09.0, about a second and a half better than Richard Highstand in the car bomb by Peregrine 39, the Audi I was talking about a little while. Give us some perspective on this. What would we expect in a full dry session to be seeing the GTD cars doing, Jeremy?
Well, the pole time in GTD last week was for the race was a 1:45.5. That was by Carl Kirkwood. In the other session, the points session for GTD is, I think it's a 45.1 that Jack Hawksworth did. So mid to low 45s basically, and the best time so far is a 2:07. So that's 22 seconds. They just completed their first lap, so they'll go quicker than that. But it's tricky out there.
Tricky, says Mr. Shaw, who likes driving in the wet. In fairness, he's very good in the wet. I've seen him drive through the field in the wet in a front-wheel drive VW at Road Atlanta in his first time in the car. He enjoys the wet. I like the wet. I'm not quite as committed as Mr. Shaw, but you have to be completely committed to what you're doing, not necessarily to some kind of facility to be out there. Although, do you know... if you don't know what you don't know, Jeremy, you know what I mean? It looks pretty slick out there, Jeremy. The problem is, these Michelin tyres, of course, are mega in the wet. They move a bath full of water about every half a second, each tyre. But what they can't do is defy the law of physics. And when there's standing water or water running across the track, that's when any tyre, no matter how good they are in the wet, that's when they're going to struggle. And that's what the drivers are feeling out at the moment.
Yeah, just feel out. You'll take a completely different line around this racetrack in these sort of conditions, because particularly with the fact there's still some rubber laid down from last week, and therefore that in when it becomes wet on that rubber that has been laid down, it's even more slick than it was before. That, and, you know, the oil sediments that are laid down as well. So you'll be running kind of offline around this racetrack in particular. In pretty much all of the corners, it'll be a slightly different line, I think, than it would be normally in the dry.
Shea Adams, our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock Reporter, she's also our weather watcher at the moment. What do you reckon? What are the teams telling their drivers at the moment, Shea?
At least 30 minutes more of rain in this storm as it's coming through right now. We are going to get a break in the rain, not within the next hour, however. Between 4 and 5 p.m., it's expected to lessen, but then just in time for qualifying, 6, 7, 8, there on and there forth, basically through the end of tomorrow at midnight, the rain will continue on. So if you're thinking maybe sit out this portion of the session and just wait for some of the worst weather to pass, like both of the Lexuses are currently doing, they have not been out on the track. Misha Goikberg has only done a sighting lap in the GRT Lamborghini, and Mark Miller was out on track for one sighting lap, but everyone else in GTD out on track. You're going to want to get out there, guys. It's not going to change.
No, exactly. You need to get some time out there at the moment. Get your drivers used to driving on the Michelin wets. Just after a quarter past two local time, 16 minutes past two Eastern summertime, I suppose we are at the moment. Whilst that's quarter past seven in London. Just checked a few traffic cameras in London, particularly south of the river where Curry is. Beautiful weather down there at the moment. Shame we couldn't have moved to Brands Hatch this weekend. It would have been fantastic. It's absolutely glorious after a few days of overcast in the UK. Oliver Askew goes to the top for Andretti Autosport in the Ligier. 2 minutes, 0.6. Pretty interesting, and I would think a pretty successful debut for the full Andretti Autosport team with Oliver Askew, Jarrett Andretti, and of course Marco joined them at the weekend, Jeremy, and they had a decent run on Sunday.
They lost a couple of laps. I don't actually know why or how. They lost a couple of laps. I think some of it was down to sort of an inauspiciously timed pit stop. But because certainly the car was quick. Oliver Askew did actually set the fastest lap of the race,
yep,
therefore a new lap record in LMP3 by not very much over Felipe Fraga by, well, I think it was a hundredth of a second or thereabouts. The quickest cars in LMP3 were Oliver Askew, Felipe Fraga, Colin Brown. Those three cars covered by about a tenth of a second. I think Scott Andrews was next, a couple of tenths further back. So two drivers in the number 74 team, Felipe Fraga and Scott Andrews. Of course, a really good first stint from Gar Robinson as well, took them to the victory. So, yeah, it was an okay result for Andretti Autosport. Certainly not what they had hoped for. And I think, you know, for Marco, it was a little bit difficult to hopping in at the last minute. He was, I think, fractionally quicker than Jarrett in the race I'm just looking at it now, by 8 thousandths of a second quicker than Jarrett in the race. But yeah, that was a good second, wow, or so, second and a half behind Oliver Askew. And yeah, for Marco, it was tough because I think he'd done a test beforehand, but he was absent for the whole of the practice and qualifying because of that, insert whatever word you want, SRX series.
He was at Eldora, let's just say that.
Yes, let's just say that. You know, he apparently put his priority on that, which I thought was a bizarre decision. Particularly that was only on, he wasn't even at Watkins Glen on the Friday, was he? So
no.
That was kind of odd, I thought. But in any case, great to see Andretti Autosport here. And of course, this weekend, it's going to be Jarrett and Oliver Askew. So yeah, they'll be looking to build on what they've learned over the last couple of weekends, and I'm sure they're looking for a strong result here on tomorrow, I guess, Friday, isn't it? Odd, weird.
Yeah.
Race day Friday. Yes. Okay. Fine. Get my head around it.
Many.
Brilliant. Love it.
Well, no, I like it because it keeps it away from all the other sport that's going on at the weekend. Let's be honest, at the moment we've got Tour de France, we've got Formula One, we've got motorcycle racing at the weekend. We've got soccer with the Euros. Many, many years ago, whilst Martin Haven and I were, I think, at Le Mans, we talked about, why don't we move motor racing to Wednesdays and Thursdays to keep it away from everything else and have a half a chance of getting some TV airtime? No excuses this week, whether you're listening at work at the moment or you're doing a bit of working from home or listening to racing from home. And we've got an hour left of this session and we will be competitive tomorrow. We've got the qualifying session for IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship coming up just a bit later on. And we'll have that in sound and vision for you as well, of course. That's at 5.40. We'll be on the air at 5.35 Eastern. That's 10.35 in the UK with the new extended WeatherTech Championship qualifying session. And we'll have that for you in sound and vision, whether you're in the States or anywhere else. No blocks or breaks. So if you go to imsaradio.com around that time and hit the live video button, then you'll be able to tune in and see the pictures from the Glen, which by then, Shea Adam, might be a little less damp.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, come on. I'm trying to be a little ray of sunshine.
And I will be the little black stormy cloud over your head, as long as you're wearing the Canada umbrella hat. The yeah. Pro cars.
Ah, happy Canada Day, released. By the way. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Happy Canada Day. John Ferrara.
I can't believe I got that in first.
Well, hang on. I've got more to it. John Ferrano driving the 8 Dower Motorsports LMP2 car. Red flag out, by the way, as the 55 Mazda has come to the stop. It looks at the top or the bottom of the S's. Misha Goyperg, Russian Canadian, 19 Grasser Racing Lamborghini. Roman De Angelis, race winner in the 23 Heart of Racing Aston Martin. Daniel Morad in the 28 Allegra Motorsport Mercedes. Jeff Kingsley in the 76 Compass Racing McLaren. And an honorary shout out to Madison Snow in the number 1 because his dad, Martin, is Canadian and he has a Canadian passport. So lots of Canadian in the field this weekend and a lot of them all seem to be in GTD.
Oh, Canada. It is Ollie Jarvis who's behind the wheel of the 55. This was his outlap and he hasn't got too far at all. The AMR safety team, as well as Charlie's towing, are already there. The Porsche Cayenne GTS response vehicle and the Ram towing vehicle already on site. Ollie Jarvis, after a phenomenal race with Jonathan Bomarito and Harry Tinknell. Is this the start of another summer of Mazda? Outstanding when he joined us yesterday on Midweek Motorsport from here at the Glen. Came out the pit lane and just didn't get very far at all. Almost as if he lost drive, barely got to turn number 3. In fact, didn't really get to turn 3. He's barely got through turn 2, and on the uphill, the car grinds to a halt. He slots the car to the right-hand side to stay out the way. It'll take a flat toe, so there's nothing falling off it as far as I can see, Jeremy, but it would appear the Mazda 2-litre four-cylinder turbo engine does not have any fire in it in the best possible way, or in the worst possible way, and that car is going to need some assistance from the tow truck to get it back to the pits.
Yeah, same plan as last week. Is this perhaps, practiced to qualifying, didn't go their way. They changed the engine after qualifying and had a sensational race. So I guess they're hoping that plan will work again here a few days later. Incidentally, that brilliant victory that was. It was a real team effort that. They did, in fact, change one tyre during that final pit stop last week.
We thought they
changed no tyres. They did change, actually, the right front. They had had some problems with that right front, oddly, not the left front. They'd had problems with the right front during the weekend, so they changed that. That was one of the last cars to pit before that final caution period, so they didn't need anything like a full tank of fuel, and they had enough.
No, it was a full tank of fuel. Ollie told us it was a full tank of fuel.
They didn't need that. They needed a full tank of fuel. They didn't need
to put in a full tank.
A full fill.
Yes, correct.
So they needed absolutely to be brim full, but the time that was it was going to take to put in what they needed to fill it up to the brim was only enough time to change one tire.
Yes.
So they chose the right front because that was the tire that had problems with earlier in the weekend. So some of the other teams out there changed two tires. Well, there wasn't enough time to change two tires on the Mazda. They sent it out after one, and that is why it was able to leapfrog the other guys and go from third to first and then hold traction position from there. But it was a massive fuel save. We talked about it during the show, the fuel save element. We didn't know about the tire side of it, but we did talk about the fuel save. And I think most of the teams, they were four or five laps short of being able to make it. So it's massive fuel save, but still turning, you know, pretty representative lap times. I think five is a bit fanciful, but they were certainly way short. They had to save fuel, and it was just a masterful job by the entire team. And you talked about the fact they only just made it across to take the white flag before having to do an extra lap, and that was also in their planning from, you know, quite a bit earlier on to try and run a sort of a pace whereby they wouldn't need to do that extra lap. And then when the white flag did come out, Harry was told, okay, go for it. Yeah, no concerns. Now you can get to the end, which he did. And then, of course, he ran out on the cool down lap. So brilliant team effort all the way around there at the Multimatic and Mazda Motorsport team.
Yeah, Ollie told us last night that they wouldn't have made it if they'd gone green when they'd meant to go green. And he doesn't think anybody would have. They all would have had to splash. But the extra two laps, 6 minutes, whilst the 0-1 Cadillac and the 10 Acura sorted themselves out behind the safety car, gave them the opportunity. And the interesting thing was, Ollie said they didn't tell Harry about when the white flag was coming out. They controlled him with his fuel numbers, which I thought was really interesting. So they backed him off with the fuel numbers and then let him get on the bridle, if you will, and give it full beans for what they believed would be the last lap and a half. And so they were on it pretty much full rich for pretty much the last couple of laps. And they had controlled his pace with the fuel numbers before that. I thought it was very interesting. It's Midweek Motorsport Series 16, Episode 26. That is, it's over on RadioLeMond.com if you want to listen back to that interview. Really interesting strategic calls. We're back to green, by the way. And we've got 53 minutes still to go. And if I manage to scroll back to the top of this computer screen, I can tell you that pretty much everybody has gone back out. Roman De Angelis still in the pits for Heart of Racing Aston Martin. But everybody else heading out. Guy Cosmo for the Gilbert Kothoff Mercedes AMG 3 team, sitting in the pit lane at the moment. And that is the number 32 car. And probably worthwhile having a little word about that. Shane Lewis and Guy Cosmo. Shane mentioned them early on, Jeremy. Gilbert Kothoff Motorsport, a new name to IMSA WeatherTech competition.
Yeah, great to see that interest there. And Larry Gilbert, who's a drag racer and all sorts of racing in the past, did some Trans Am as well, and it's a ambitious new team. I mean, they just love the way things are going here in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. And having been in IMSA to some degree of the last few years in the IPC series, they wanted to be involved on a full-time basis, and they just see this GTD has been such a great platform. Come in here with lots of enthusiasm. It is actually a brand new car as well, and great to see characters like Guy Cosmo and Shane Lewis back in the sport. Neither of them has ever won a race, by the way, in the IMSA WeatherTech days. In fact, actually,
that's
surprising. They've only ever had 10 starts since 2014 between them. Lots before that, of course.
Guy's been around since the early 90s, hasn't
Shane's been around since the 18-something. Sorry, Shane. They've both been around a long time. A lot in ALMS competition and Rolex before that. But actually, since the formation of the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship in 2014, just the 10 starts between them. And the best finish was a third for Guy. That was actually last year, I think, at Sebring.
The Mazda is back in the pit lane. Engine just died, is what I'm hearing on their Twitter feed. I wonder if they just sent it out with the fuel share that they had left at the end of the race last weekend, you know, just because they could.
Well, here's the funny thing. In talking to Harry Ticknell, they didn't run out of fuel, and they would have been okay to go one more lap because after the race, they pumped out 3 liters from the tank. So it was a different issue after the checkered flag that resulted in Harry needing a tow back to the victory lane. But maybe Ollie just wanted to know what it felt like, too.
They couldn't pick that fuel up, I don't think. I think that was the issue. Wiggle it around a bit, turn it on its side, maybe. 50 minutes to go in this first and only free practice session for the IMSA WeatherTech. WeatherTech 240 at the Glen is the race. 240 not standing for 4 hours. It's 2 hours and 40 minutes this weekend. So we're back to the more usual distance of the WeatherTech. And hate to say this, but I don't think the weather's getting any better. In fact, quite the opposite. The spray here does at various parts of the track tend to hang because we've got trees that overhang the area. Doesn't allow the spray to dissipate. Shea is talking to the teams and has this VP Racing Fuel pit and paddock report on track conditions.
From Corvette Racing, Jordan Taylor out behind the wheel of the number 3 right now, the race winner from four days ago. Jordan reporting that there isn't a lot of standing water, but the spray is nearly impossible to see through. So that's what the teams are contending with right now. But clearly Olivier Pla, who, by the way, if you are on social media and you want a bit of comedy, he tried to play some golf with Pippo Durrani this week, and it did not go down very well. Olivier is happy to have put the golf clubs away. He's gone 4 seconds faster than anyone else on track. So clearly he doesn't care. If he can't see where the track goes, he's still going to go to P1.
Looked like he couldn't see where the golf ball was when he was... Why? People was being very, very incongruous with him because he gave him a driver, which is the hardest club to hit. He should have started him with a 7 or a 9 iron and just let him chip a few balls first. But giving him a straight-faced club to hit the ball with straight away. Trust me, nobody in the PGA is worried about a change of career right now for Ollie Pla. But knowing Ollie Pla, he won't be happy with that. And I will guarantee he will go away. And the next time we see Ollie Pla with a golf club in his hand, he'll be hitting at 200 yards with a driver. He'll be giving Bryson DeChambeau a little run for his money. You're listening to IMSA Radio. Hello there. It's Hindoff, Shaw and Adam in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Share our VP Racing Fuel pit and paddock reporter. It's not pleasant at the Glen at the moment in terms of the conditions. But as this is the only practice session they are out, we have had pretty much the whole of the 30-car entry out. In fact, I can only see that the Guy Cosmo, the Gilbert Courthoff car, has not gone out at all. I'm not saying everybody's turned competitive laps at the moment, but Jeremy, good news about the number 55 Multimatic Mazda.
Yeah, indeed, the fuel control module.
Of course,
is what the problem was. Yes, one should have thought.
Is that the FCM? I'm sure they call it the FCM. I bet Larry Holt was calling it the FC something. In the last few minutes, yeah.
Yeah, so the car is now back on track. In fact, we see it now, sort of see it, splashing its way up towards the turn 8. So, yeah, good news there for that Mazda team. It was certainly a popular win, wasn't it, last week?
Yes.
That team has been, they've been knocking on the door all season long. They started off the year with 3 straight podiums. And you know, it's been a really good year for this team. They've been consistently quick. The only race they didn't finish on a podium was at Detroit, but they were certainly quick enough to do that. They just got a little bit unlucky and they got overtaken as well a couple of times, which was not part of the plan. But, you know, last week they came here with a good plan. They were ready to go. They hadn't tested, I think, at Watkins Glen, but they'd done a lot of development and ready to go with a fresh engine. And unfortunately, the engine just wasn't doing what it should have done, so they changed it after qualifying.
That was brave. Jeremy, you've got to interrupt. Your big incident out on the circuit for the 0-1 Cadillac and that's hit the wall very, very hard indeed. Taking off the rear end. It is still rolling. It's Renger van der Zander. That'll bring out a red flag, right rear and right across the rear, in fact, of that car coming out of the inner loop. Now, the good news is it looks to be just bodywork damage, but that was a very quick rotation. Now, the timing has got Renger van der Zander, but I think that is Special K in the car. Kevin Magnussen, by the helmet colours. We'll check that for you in a moment. It is the good news for that car is it is still rolling and all the wheels are roughly pointing in the right direction. Maybe just a little bit too much curb on the penultimate of the red and yellow curbs. The last of the left-handers just pitched the car into a right-hand, the rear sliding to the right, and that turned the car across the track. You can take the shortcut back on the short circuit, and in fact, actually, he hasn't done that. He's coming down to turn eight. Could have done that. And we'll come back into the pit lane. I think they've got away with that. I really think they've got away with that. That might just be bodywork damage. They'll have a look at the suspension on the right rear and just check all of the alignment on that. But that could have been much worse. Much worse indeed. Sorry, Jeremy, go back to what you were saying about Mazda changing their engine on Saturday overnight before Sunday. I mean, it's a brave thing to do, but with a six-hour race, I suppose they felt they had no choice.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the data they saw off the engine just wasn't what they'd anticipated. They'd had a couple of boost issues during the practice sessions as well. So if in doubt, take it out. That was the philosophy there. They had another fresh engine, so no big deal. Started from the back, of course, and they only gave up one position, actually, because they qualified poorly, so that made it even easier decision to make. Probably it did actually cost them some championship points, though, of course, this brilliant new system that is in place nowadays, which it cost them a couple of positions or a point or two, I guess it is, or because I don't think they lost their points altogether for that. Start from the back and continue where they'd started off the weekend and came through to win the race. The car was quick, wasn't it, all the way through the race and got themselves in position at the end. Job done.
Whilst we've been under the red flag there, I think Rob Ferriol's just run into Misha Goikberg, Shea Adam. That would be Rob Ferriol in the Hardpoint EBM, the Richard Mille champion Porsche supported number 88 car.
Yeah, very weird moment as Misha was coming onto the front straight and hit the brakes where the 88 was going straight and didn't check up quickly enough, running into the back of it. The hood actually popped open. And I'm not sure if the red flag was already out. The pit close lights were on, but that's standard for the final practice before we go into qualifying session. But Ferriol darting into the pit lane shortly thereafter. I don't know if the red flag was already out at that point in time. But a very weird reaction from the Lamborghini to brake there. And there's no way that Rob would have been expecting that. Cat Leg is now behind the wheel of that Porsche, by the way, as all drivers are allowed out on track when we go back to green, because the amateur hour is up, or amateur half hour, I should say, is up for GTD, LMP3, and LMP2. But a very odd moment out there.
They'll be worried about the cooling radiators in the front of that car. They are still at the very front of the GT3 version. Grasser Racing Lamborghini, the number 19 car, talked about this. That was another car that took a big hit last weekend and also had a conflagration in the engine compartment. It's back, it's green, but it has, Shea, got a slightly new livery with what appeared to be a whole load of nachos all over it.
It looks like Halloween, doesn't it? Like, yeah. Somebody took a jack-o'-lantern and just carved into it a bit too early. Put a really nice-looking livery on this car. Misha Goikberg and Frank Pereira sharing the car for this weekend. And Frank, who's driven in the endurance races so far this year, he was supposed to be in the car with Misha at Mid-Ohio. They missed that race because of chassis damage sustained in testing at Mid-Ohio. So we're happy to see this car back once again. And as you say, a little bit of unfinished business from the team after Tim Zimmerman, their silver driver, set the fastest lap in GTD last week, but Frank didn't even get a chance to drive the car during the race.
Lambo number 3, they've got written on the back. Well, it's number 19, but I wonder if that's a reference to Mambo number 5, the pop song, and I wonder if they're doing something with that, because they've got the driver's names on the A-pillar as well, not their full names, just their first names, Frank and Misha, with exclamation marks, exclamation points behind them. So not sure what's all that about, but I bet Shea will find out for us. We've got just under 40 minutes to go. We're under a red flag situation, but not anymore. And out goes the number 55 Mazda, which was sitting patiently in the fast lane with Ollie Jarvis still at the wheel. Mustang sampling number 5 heading out as well. Tristan Vautier is listed at the wheel of that car. Not really having seen what we might say is a whole slew of representative times. And just to underline that, Jeremy, top 2 times are DPIs, next 2 times are LMP3 cars. I think an LMP3 car around here might be entertaining.
Yeah. Good point. Not sure. Have any of the LMP2s been out, actually, at that stage? Yeah, I guess they had, yeah.
Yeah,
Stephen Thompson's been out there. What a great job it was, by the way, by that Win Autosport team last weekend. First of all, that brilliant last-ditch pole for Stephen Thomas. His second pole of the season, it has to be said. Very impressive for him. And then at the end, Tristan Nunez really had his work cut out to keep on and hold that lead. Brilliant performance by him. Under pressure all the way through from the number 52 PR1 Matheson Motorsports team. And incidentally, the fastest lap of the race in LMP2 last week was set by Gabriel Obrey. And it was a 132.8. The fastest lap of the race overall was once again by Rega van der Zander, who set 3 fastest laps this season in the 5 races, was a 131.5, so just 1.3 seconds slower than the overall fastest lap of the race for Gabriel Obrey to set that new lap record in LMP2. I think that was the only lap record to fall in last weekend's race, other than LMP3, of course, which is establishing a lap record. So seriously impressive speed from Gabriel Obrey and several of the other contenders in LMP2.
At IMSA Radio, if you'd like to get in touch with us, Jeremy talked about the Win Autosport team there, and they did do a very good. They had a very good week after a bit of an inauspicious start. Were they hit the wall a couple of times? That changed a couple of rear ends, Jeremy. Or
was in the fence in the morning.
Yeah,
wasn't it? Stephen Thomas made a mistake in the morning. Forget what he did now, but he didn't cover himself with glory. He was a bit embarrassed by that, but he came back in the best possible way to take the pole position, and then a great run in the race as well. So hats off all the way around. Hey, you've got to make mistakes, aren't you? And particularly somebody who's still relatively new to this sport.
Yeah, so long as you learn from it, Jeremy. Don't keep making the same mistake. You know, I was very impressed with that. Philippe Albuquerque has just had a spin coming out of the inner loop. He didn't hit anything, but ended up facing in the wrong direction and had to do a quick flick turn to get the Konica Minolta, the gloss black and light blue or mid blue, royal blue. Glossy, well, it would be glossy black if we could see it. Fair point. Well made, Jeremy. Absolutely. He's got that car pointing in the right direction. Extremely overcast and still raining at the moment. Drivers saying there's not too much standing water. My goodness, what do they think about that? Because it looks to me, you can see where the Michelins are carving share their way through the little bit of water on top of the track, particularly going through up towards turn 8, from 8 to 9, from 9 to 10. I don't think it's getting any better out there at the moment.
It's gotten a lot worse, and the red flag didn't help things either, because if cars are not circulating, the water doesn't get moved off. There is a lot of standing water around the track. Uphill into the S's is bad. Cars are aquaplaning in straight lines. And I've just had an update from Hardpoint. The bumper was pushed back far enough that the hood won't latch. Oh. So that's why we haven't seen the 88 Porsche back out of the pit lane quite yet with Catherine Legg, who I was talking with a bit earlier. And she dared to ask me, are Porsches good in the rain? And I said, yeah. Yeah, if there's a GT3 car that you want to be in when it's raining, Porsche would have to be pretty far up that list. So she was excited to get out there once the team is able to secure the front hood back down. But I'm getting a lot of updates from teams that are saying, this is too dangerous. We're going to park up now.
Oh, and we've just got another car sliding. It is the Andretti, number 36, LMP3, coming over the top of the rise towards turn 8. Back end just broke away. They were not pushing hard at all there. And it is pouring down now. This is the leading LMP3 car sitting for Jarrett Andretti in third position overall. There's been contact with the guardrail on driver's right with the left rear of that car because it was facing backwards as it just lost grip completely heading down into turn it way before the braking area. Not much Jarrett could have done about that. And that will be a new tail section required there. It's brought out the red flag because of the debris on the track. Yeah, just coming over the top of the rise and spun right in front of another one of the P3 cars, I think. But it was very, very wet now. And I'm not sure, Shea, what is to be learned right now, because quite frankly, I'm not sure we'd be racing or qualifying in conditions like this.
This is the sort of condition that great team Corvette representative Dan Binks would say, this is where you learn how to fix stuff in these kinds of conditions. Checking the radar, the weather right over top of the track is dissipating ever so slightly. We are going to get that 2 hour roughly thereabout gap where it's not going to be raining as badly. But the issue right now is the standing water on the track and the fact that it's still coming down from the sky. That's causing some issues.
Kerry Cobb is our engineer over in London. Thanks to our colleagues up at Charlotte for NASCAR Productions, making sure we can see all the way around the 3.4 miles of Watkins Glen International and let you know what the conditions are. If you're here at the track, you know exactly what the conditions are. It's wet, wet, wet. And there's a lot of standing water, not only on the track, but it's now running off the circuit. And even the IMSA Chevrolet pickup truck is struggling just a little bit. They got themselves onto the grass there, and I think they realised that that probably wasn't the best idea. Awful lot of dandelions that have been sacrificed to the cause by that spin from Jarrett Andretti. The AMR safety crew from our Chevy truck just making sure that everything is okay there. And the hardy spectators who are in the grandstands, I think, rather sensibly heading for cover at the moment. It's not cold. 19 degrees in the air, Celsius, that is, which is a reasonable temperature of 66, that is, isn't it, Fahrenheit. So not cold. So T-shirts and shorts, probably okay. Might as well have shorts on. It's fewer clothes to get wet, isn't it, really, to be quite honest. But at the moment, Jeremy, I think this red flag, which came out for the Andretti Autosports LMP3, this might stay out for a wee while.
Yeah, I think you might be right. There's an optimistic look at some of the clouds that are, as Shea was saying, just dissipating a little bit, at least in that direction. That's kind of to the north of the racetrack alongside Seneca Lake. But it's diabolical out there right now. And yeah, you there's not much to be learned at this point in the proceedings. It's just a shame, isn't it? It's a great racetrack here, and you know, and it does drain reasonably well.
Yeah.
But not when there aren't cars on the track, and when it's raining as hard as it has been doing, kind of on and off. So just really treacherous out there right now. And I think it does look a little bit brighter than it was. And so is the green flag out again now? I think it might be, actually.
Yeah,
so yeah, we are going to get cars. Yeah.
Wow.
So we are going to get cars to track, and it's going to take more cars on the track to dry it out, basically. That's the only way it is going to get any better, and you try and dissipate some of that water that has accumulated on the track. As I say, most of the corners, there is some sort of a slope to them.
Yes, good point.
Yeah, the really tricky places when the standing water is the inner loop, certainly. The back straight is very, very tricky as well. And then after that, you've just got to be really careful of all the rivers that by necessity run across the racetrack.
Yeah. Felipe Fraga out in the number 74 Riley Motorsport Ligier has volunteered his tribute, and he's headed out. The GT cars the same, but certainly the prototypes are running such low ride heights and ground clearances that those bits of standing water, the puddles that Jeremy's talking about, or anything that's running across the track, the danger is there that the plank that runs across the bottom of the car, which is there to ensure the cars don't break the ride height rules, the danger is that that effectively then lifts the wheels off the ground, or at least gets in contact with water and takes some of the pressure off the wheels. And at that point, you're driving a 600 horsepower boogie board. And in fact, you're not driving it, because it's just going in the last direction that you pointed it. And that's what race control will be watching for at the moment. The drivers will be feeding back as well. They're certainly not up to speed. And of course, the problem there, Jeremy, again, with the prototypes is they need the speed here to get the downforce, because they don't have that much mechanical grip. And what do you need in wet weather? Mechanical grip.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you just got to be really creative with your lines around here in these sort of conditions. You know, just forget the optimal racing line. That's just not going to be the way to get around here at any sort of speed at all. You just got to negotiate around the rivers and the standing water that is out there. In many cases on this racetrack, that'll mean a really high and deep entry, turn in much later than usual, and then cut across the racing line, so you miss the sort of, so when you're going across the river, so to speak, at least you're pointing in a sort of straightish line, accelerating out of the corner.
Teda Olsen in the Dawson Racing Ligier, the dark red and black number 84. The other thing that you really need is fast hands. Just came out of turn 9, and he's fine. He's in a straight line, but then the torque of that V8 engine just pushes him forward and spins up the Michelin tyres, because at some stage physics does come into play, no matter how good the wet weather tyres are. And that was very fast hands indeed from Olsen in that Dawson Racing number 84. Unabashed, he's carried on. And as Jeremy says, not looking at all for what you might call the traditional racing line, where you get down to the apex, the pointy bit of the corner. He's finding grip offline where the rubber isn't, where the rubber wasn't laid down last weekend, and trying to get further up any of the corners that are banked. So turn 6 is a good 2 cars widths away from where you would think the racing line is, because the water's running downhill there, and he's got more chance of getting some rubber on the road. Remember that the grooves, the sipes, as they are called in the Michelin wet weather tyres, that's not what gives you grip. It's the rubber that gives you grip. The grooves are purely there to move the water. So why do you have them on your road car, your straight car? Because you drive in wet and dry conditions. If you only ever had to drive in dry conditions, you wouldn't have those grooves. That's why we have slick racing tyres. But to move that water, the science of where the grooves are, how deep they are, which direction they're pointing, and the pattern that they are, that is unbelievably technical, but allows these Michelin wet weather tyres to move a huge amount of water from a very small contact patch, when you think about it, and you've only got to look up behind the cars and see how much water is in the air being thrown up by those Michelin wet weather tyres. At least, Jeremy, it was a simple tyre choice for this session. Shall we? Oh, no, it's wet.
Yeah, no, fair comment. You don't have to worry about making any decision there. You just got to make your decisions out on the racetrack rather than before leaving the pit lane.
You just talked about
Theodor Olsen, John. What a job he did last weekend, 21-year-old Norwegian. He was really impressive. Didn't get a lot of laps in during the practice and qualifying, but was absolutely superb during the race. I think he got up to second place in the early stages. Really, really fine run. He was a lot quicker in the race than either of his teammates. For somebody making his professional racing debut, the team had said, watch out for this kid. And they were absolutely right, because we're certainly going to watch him this weekend. That's car number 84, Theodor Olsen, 21 years of age, from Norway.
Bit of a moment down at the entrance to the inner loop and through the tyre wall chicane there. Very sensibly done. Don't try to push it if you can't get it done. Front tyres, I think, locked up pretty early on in the piece. On the Riley number 74 for Felipe Fraga. Sits in third in LMP3 at the moment. There's a real mix of cars in the top 10. We've got some GTD cars in there. We've got some DPIs. We've got some LMP3s. The weather isn't getting any better at all. Shea, who needs track time here in terms of just getting the cars out there?
Well, finally out on track is the Mercedes, the Gilbert Korthoff car. Guy Cosmo behind the wheel right now. 49 minutes of the session gone by before they ventured out of the pit lane. But this team only got the car about 3 weeks ago, so they need all the track time they can possibly get. And they did not run in the 6 hours last weekend. Two other teams running in GTD who were not present for the 6 hours. They're both Acuras, as a matter of fact, both of the NSX GT3s. Mario Farnbacher in the Compass Racing Acura right now. They posted a video on their social media of what it was like for Jeff Kingsley at the beginning of this session. And all I can say is eep as far as that one goes. The other Acura, Compass Racing, Till Bechtelsheimer's got 11 laps under, well, the car's belt so far. It's been 12 laps for Compass. As both of those cars with this 1 hour practice session, they're only running at the Glen in 2021 so far. And then as far as LMP3 is concerned, Performance Tech with the new engine, they've got 3 laps so far with that new engine. Mateo Llerena, the last driver out of that car a little while ago. But there's only 7 minutes and 46.54 seconds remaining of this session for those cars. So they need to take advantage of this while they can.
I'd say pretty much everybody, if it's going to be the possibility of this weather, Jeremy, yes, those are the people that Shea rightly highlights who've had issues or weren't here last week. But these aren't the conditions we had last week. And the engineers will want data. The drivers will absolutely want to know where the standing water is.
They will, and who's to say the weather's not going to be like this tomorrow as well? I mean, yeah. Shea was talking about earlier on, the weather forecast for the weekend isn't good, so you might as well get out there and learn as much as you possibly can about how the track how it holds the water, where the water runs to, how quickly or not it dries. There's a lot to be learned out right now, particularly as we've been saying, there is just this one practice session straight into qualifying, and then the race. There's no warm up tomorrow, is there? So
nope.
There's minimal track time this weekend, and for those teams that were not here last week, number 44 and number 76, the two GTD cars. Yeah, it's a steep learning curve, and number 32, of course, steep learning curve, and that is exactly why the number 39 car, which isn't generally speaking doing the endurance championship or even isn't doing the full championship, that's why they were here last week.
Yeah, good point. Very good point. 20 more minutes of the full session to go, just on 6 minutes for the categories of cars that Shea was mentioning. There's been no changes. In fact, if anything, the times have gone out quite a bit. Well, I say that, and Ollie Jarvis has just set the Multimanic Mazda Motorsports Mazda DPI 55 fastest time. That car a little bit delayed early on, and that is a 2:02.013. We were getting 54s earlier on, but the track conditions have certainly deteriorated from them. And we do have an incident responsibility penalty for contact. Share, Adam.
It is Misha Goikberg in the number 19 Grasser Racing Lamborghini. That contact that robbed Ferial when he ran into the back of Misha. It's very rarely that the car in front is responsible for that, but in this case, Misha did not accelerate when he should have been. Stop plus 5 minutes, which there is less than 5 minutes to go in this session. I don't know if that penalty is going to have to be served at the start of qualifying, in which case Misha would only get 10 minutes to set grid position for that car.
Well,
he braked.
He braked coming off the corner, but I think the red flag was out. I saw the pits closed marker flash on there on the right-hand side from the onboard of the Porsche. All right, you know, don't stand the car in the middle of a corner, but race control have way more angles than we get to see in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. But coming around the final corner on the right-hand side, maybe it's a bit before.
Was on for reference, for us.
Right, okay.
Yep.
And the pits close light wouldn't come on in a red flag anyway, if I actually think about it.
It would, but it's on the entirety of this session because this is the last session before qualifying. So something that normally would be a good indicator for us actually doesn't do us any good.
Yeah, okay. What I couldn't say was whether any red flags were out at the flag stations. But 5 minutes then, stop and hold, or stop and 5 minute hold for incident responsibility. Now, you might ask, what's the point of that in a practice session, as the Grasser Lamborghini and another mid-engine car, the number 66 NSX Till Bechtelsheimer in the gradient car. Till, who's pretty confident in low grip situations, done a lot of vintage racing in his motorsport career. You might ask why you would assess that. Basically, what race control is doing here is saying it's not acceptable. That behaviour isn't acceptable, whether it's in a practice session or in the race. We're letting you know, and more importantly, we're letting the rest of the pit lane know that it's been seen, and we've assessed that. Please don't do it again. And by the way, anybody else who does that, you will also get a penalty. So that is the thinking behind it. Just about 2.5 minutes left for the bronze and silver drivers before we hand it over for the last 15 minutes to the pro drivers. And I'm waiting to see how many stay out. Difficult to say that it's getting any better. New fastest time in LMP2 for Mikkel Jensen. Jeremy goes up into fourth position overall with that time for PR1 Matheson Motorsport.
Yeah, indeed. So, yeah, there is now a line that's emerging. Tristan Nunez had just gone to a 2:02 on that previous lap. Then, as you say, Mikkel Jensen went quicker up to fourth position. Tristan Vautier has just gone fastest of anybody since the red flags. He's moved up into third position in car number 5 with 156.774, so just less than a second quicker than Mikkel Jensen in the number 52 PR1 Matheson Motorsports LMP2 car, excuse me. Oliver Jarvis is out there on the track. They got that electrical problem fixed on that car. He's up to 8th overall now, and although I think he actually might be in the pits at the moment, but that car also has made some gains forward, just outside the 2 minute range. Tristan Nunez at 157.7 on this last lap in the Wynn Autosport car number 11.
Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre is populated by Jeremy Sean, John Hindhoff with Shea Adam as our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter. There is only one of her, I promise. She manages to cover such a lot of ground. It appears we have a GT Daytona race here in practice because there's six cars now, pretty much nose to tail, to nose to tail, to nose to tail, going down the front straight, headed by the Lexus of Vass Sullivan Racing. And Zach Veach, is it here? Yeah, it is, you're right.
Yeah.
That's the seventh placed GT Daytona in the number 12 car, stretches up the hill through the S's. In behind that, the Lamborghini, number one, Brian Sellers. He's fifth quickest at the moment in that Huracan for Paul Miller Racing. It's still, there is a less wet line. I'm not even going to say a drying line. There is a less wet line on the back straight. It has helped, I think, Jeremy, that pretty much all of the cars have been out there. It, as the EBM hardpoint number 88 Porsche runs through. Catherine Legg running through the shortcut at the inner loop there, but no harm, no foul. I think it has helped that we've had most of the cars out, just underlining, Jeremy Shaw, how efficient the wet weather tyres are at shifting water.
Yeah, impressive, isn't it?
And it really,
you know,
is.
That dry line that's emerging now is, you know, is quite apparent out there. You know, the cars are picking up a fair bit of speed now. It's a lot less unfriendly. Hitting the double negative, apologies for the double negative, than it was, you know, just maybe 5 minutes or so ago. And but by the same time, you know, if you do get off the line, off that drying line, it's going to be tricky. Gabriel Obrey, by the way, has gone second fastest overall in this session, in the Tower Motorsport number 8 LMP2 car. The guy who set the new lap record last week for LMP2. Second fastest overall here, 156.5. So that's quicker than all of the DPI cars that are out there at the moment, which is a few.
It is a few. Yeah, you're right. And they are picking up the pace. The 01 Cadillac, which we had K-Mag in when it spun, still seeing Renger van der Zander. See if I can spot the helmet in there. Is that the yellow helmet of Renger van der Zander in there, Shea? I think it is, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Big slide for K-Mag earlier on, coming out of the inner loop, which took off the right rear fender and the whole of the rear wing. That car has been fettled, and the very bright highlight, the yellow helmet of Renger van der Zander, is behind the wheel. So that car's been fixed back out up to or in third position at the moment. I suspect that he'll be trying to improve on that. Ran out of fuel, or was stuttering on fuel in the closing laps on Sunday, which may have been a contributing factor to the accident at turn 8. Three laps or so from the end, the radio call went to Kevin Magnussen to save fuel quite significantly. A bit late, yes, Jeremy. Yeah, I think so. But that, I mean, on such, you know, what we've been talking about, on such small things, you know, did we get the calculations right? How much did we get in? How much is the engine going to pick up? What do we have left in the tank at the end? Is it 3 litres? Is it 5 litres? Because, you know, that's going to make a big difference, quite frankly. And, you know, 2.2 litres, 2.5 litres a lap of fuel, something to start at that. Shea Adam, with news on that penalty, as the GTD LMP2s and LMP3s are parking now for the last 15 minutes, or last 11 minutes, is news about that penalty for the avoidable contact earlier on. Shea, what do you hear?
Well, the 19 Grasser Racing Lamborghini that was involved in the contact with the 88 had a stop and 5-minute penalty. It did not serve it in the allotted time before the end of the session, meaning that the penalty will carry over. And I am indebted to our pit lane officials who are not only out there right now in the wet, but they are answering their text messages to try and give me information on this. It will carry over to the start of the qualifying session. So Misha Goikberg will have to sit in his box for the first 5 minutes of qualifying. You're not guaranteed a lap in this either. You're guaranteed 10 minutes of a qualifying session. Whether you get all 10 minutes or not is up to the team. And you actually said the GTD, LMP3 and LMP2 teams coming into the pit lane. Well, there was just an announcement over the race control chat that car 39, which was being driven by Richard Heistan, the Audi of Carbon, black flag on behalf of the team. So clearly there was some radio issue trying to get Richard to come back into the pit lane as the session had ended.
Right, copy that. Well, smart move by all concerned. Sometimes you've got to go back to the old ways. WeatherTech Porsche back out on track after a very nasty, fiery moment last weekend. Just a couple of laps into the Sailing 6 Hours of the Glen. Looked like maybe a slight brush with the turn 11 wall did some damage under the bodywork there. There was oil coming out of that car. It caught something hot and a very fiery moment for Cooper McNeely, who brought it into the pit lane. And all sorts of help at that point from teams as well as the IMSA officials to put the fire out on the left rear. Great to see that car back out and looking, it has to be said, Jeremy, looking absolutely pristine. If we hadn't seen that and we weren't talking about it, nobody would know that that car had been on the left rear a fiery ball 4 days ago.
Yeah, impressive job by that Proton competition team, certainly, to get that car looking so good. It is the same car, isn't it?
So
excellent work there. And the car does looks really sharp in these conditions. It looks sharp any time, but it was particularly sharp, I think, in these sort of grey conditions. It's the white there with the red and the blue kind of swirls on there. It's a really cool looking car. We've, by the way, just finally got two cars going quicker than Gabriel Aubry, who is in the pits now, having completed the LMP2 session. We saw a replay of the conflagration last week for Cooper McNeely. That was really a nasty moment for him. So finally, Gabriel Aubry's time has just been beat by both Rangaband and Zander in the 01 Cadillac repaired car, 153.3, and by Harry Ticknell, 154.4, and Ollie Plahr, number 60, Meyer Shank racing car. It was kind of, they felt they were kind of robbed last week. They were in control most of the race. He's gone faster again now, 150.7 by Olivier Plahr. So he's absolutely flying in that Meyer Shank car. And you've got to hope for that team that they get it right on tomorrow evening and come away with the win that they really would have deserved if not for a brilliant team performance by Mazda last week here at Watkins Glen.
Hello to Sarah Rigby, supporting the Astons as ever, back in the UK at the moment. And they were going well earlier on, well, very well here last week. Roman De Angelis settling in very nicely with Ross Gunn in the heart of racing team. What an absolutely stellar time recently they have had. Just a note, by the way, to Proton and Christian Reid, who is the only team principal at Proton and the only ever present in the current iteration of the WEC as far as drivers is concerned. They have an order for 4 Porsche LMDH cars. 4. Been speaking to a couple of people at Porsche and in the various paddocks, and indeed it was reported on Sports Car 365 by John De Geest, I think yesterday, and absolutely can concur with that. That's been confirmed to me by a couple of impeccable sources that Proton are in line for 4 LMDH Porsches as soon as they are made available in the new regulations. That's the DPI hybrids that are coming along for 2021. 2023. And given that Porsche and Audi are going to run their own factory teams, then you'd expect that they'd have probably three or four apiece. That could mean that there's as many as 10 cars needing to be built by Multimatic for the first tranche of cars. So Larry Holt and Multimatic are going to be very, very busy indeed building LMDH chassis, LMP2 chassis, but whether they'll have any time to build P2 chassis. We haven't really seen a Multimatic P2 chassis, have we, in this iteration? But they are going to have their work cut out, just fulfilling the works orders. Lamborghini probably not coming along till 2024 now, with the same package, although with we'll have to have different bodywork, of course, different aero package, and a decision still to be made about the engine package as well. Audi and Porsche will have two different engine solutions for that. But as I say, 10, maybe a dozen chassis being built in the first tranche by Multimatic, and Christian Reid and Porsche saying that, yeah, he's got an order for four LMDH to run as customer cars, as Porsches. So really, really impressive that, well, we should see those cars running the end of this year, is what I'm hearing. Probably not a public rollout, but I'm sure we'll see some teaser videos. And if you know where to go, you might be able to see them. Late 21, early 22, those Volkswagen AG brands will be running their LMDH. I don't know who Christian Reid knows at Porsche. All I want is one Porsche. I can't even get that. And he's managed to get his name on the list for four, which are even more exclusive than the one I want, which is, I have to have a word with Christian, he must know some people. Jeremy, times are starting to pick up a little bit now in terms of what we've seen.
Well, they certainly are. A couple of moments ago, the top three were covered by just about 0.2 of a second, with Harry Tinkle at the top of the charts, the car number 55, but Olivier Plaz has reset the game again. Now the track is getting quite a bit quicker. A 148.8 now by Olivier Plaz. That's full 1.6 seconds faster than Tinkle's time in the number 55 Mazda. Ringo van der Zander in third place, almost identical time to Tinkle. Pipo Derani now up into fourth position, just about a second further back in car number 31. And Loic Duval, another second back behind him in car number 5. So the car that's lagging at the moment in DPI is Ricky Taylor, oddly. The pole sitter from last weekend, although he's on a better lap right now. He's currently, his best time is the 157.0, which is a long, long way back from everybody else. But he's on the case now and setting a much faster time as he's halfway around this lap. With how long to go? Two minutes and 45 seconds remaining in this practice session.
By the way, I recommend John's article, John De Geese's article on Sportscar 365, a really, really sensible, well-researched and with proper quotes in there. Not just idle speculation. Sportscar 365, really good roundup of the current LMDH situation from a variety of manufacturers. He's really managed to dig under the skin of what is going on. Last couple of minutes, Jeremy.
Yeah, Richard Taylor, what's his lap time? A 150.6. That's a lot quicker for Ricky Taylor, up into fourth position. So Olli Plaa leads 148.8, 149.9. Renko van der Zander, car number 01, in second place behind number 60. That's just leaving the pit lane, so maybe have time for one more lap. In third position, number 55 Mazda, 150.3. Fourth position, Ricky Taylor, as I said, car number 10, 150.6, and then a 151.6 by Felipe Nasr in the number 31 Cadillac. Top five.
Well done. I think it has to be said, a very big good o to the drivers. We've seen Jeremy in very difficult conditions, precious few incidents here in this session at Watkins Glen.
Yeah, a couple of red flags. It could have been worse, that's for sure. You know, since we've gone back to green, when conditions really weren't any better at all, it's been good. The driver's done a really, really good job since then. Of course, now we've just got the prototypes and the GTLMs on the track at the moment. So they're taking advantage of the clearer track and fast drying track. A long way from being dry, obviously, but there's now a very definite line emerging on this racetrack, and I don't think there's any standing water in any significant parts of the racetrack, other than a couple of rivers the cars are having to go through. There's one at the bottom of the hill out, kind of on the way up towards turn 9, and various others out there, but it's certainly a lot better now than it was just a few minutes ago.
I'll tell you what, we'll get
Trues to within 2/10 of Oli Pla.
No, carry on.
That was it.
Short, Nick Tandy, sweet, by the way. Yeah.
Nick Tandy is the quickest in GTLM at the moment. He's just gone quicker than the best of the LMP3 cars. Of course, they've been in the pits for quite a while. It was Oliver Askew at the time in the number 36 Andretti Autosport LMP3 car. But Nick Tandy is the only car in GTLM that's actually gone quicker than that, even though The track is drying out right now. So his Jordan Taylor in the second Corvette hasn't got to within that time. He's still 3/4 of a second behind Nick. And Cooper McNeil is several seconds back as well. Check a flag.
Well, brilliant session. Difficult conditions. It's when the drivers earn their money. They've been pushing in this. It's probably the best conditions now that we have seen. Ricky Taylor is on a flyer at the moment in the Konica Minolta Acura, currently in 5th position. Very difficult conditions that caught out Kevin Magnussen coming out of the inner loop, wiping the rear off the Cadillac from Chip Ganassi Racing. Chip Ganassi divesting himself of his NASCAR operation. This week, huge news from the stock car paddock. Also a coming together between the GRT Grassa Lamborghini and the EBM, the Hardpoint EBM Porsche. Then a wee bit of a spin from Jarrett Andretti as the weather was at its very worst. That was a pure aquaplaning moment coming over the top of the rise at turn into turn 8. And Ricky Taylor did improve his time on that last lap, a 1:49.305, and Jeremy, that takes him up the standings right at the end, as I say, probably the best conditions we've seen in the whole session.
Yeah, definitely. Put him third quickest then for Ricky Taylor. Oli Pla leads this session. They've all taken the chequered flag now. So Oli Pla, 1:48.8, 1:48.9 for Renger van der Zander in the car 01, number 10 at 1:49.3.
Shea Adam was our VP Racing Fuel pit and paddock reporter in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Jeremy Shaw and me, John Heindorf, at more than a little golf clap for everybody involved in this. And a particular thank you to our corner workers, our camera operators, and everybody else who are working outside in the weather. Not the most pleasant of situations to be in, but we've had our one and only session for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, the WeatherTech 240 at the Glen. Next time we see these cars, they'll be qualifying. What does the weather hold for us then? Can't tell you. You'll have to tune in. We're in sound and vision, free and no blocks to everybody via imsaradio.com. And you can click the live video button for this session. Acura at the top, the number 60 Mershank racing car. Oli Pla took the chequered flag about a tenth and a half ahead of Renger van der Zander for Cadillac. Chip Ganassi racing the 01. Ricky Taylor up to third for the second of the Acuras, the number 10 Konica Minolta car, right on the chequered flag. The red and white number 31 Whelen Engineering Cadillac DPI in fourth position. In fifth, Harry Tinknell for Mazda Motorsport. He got a few laps after Oli J Jarvis was out early on, although that car was slightly hamstrung by coming to a dead stop on its first lap out. Loic Duval for Mustang Sampling was fifth. In LMP2, Tower Motorsport the best in the number eight car. Nick Tandy the best of GTLM. LMP3 was the Andretti Autosport. Jared Andretti driven LMP3 number 36. And in GT Daytona, Bill Oberland and Turner Motorsport was the quickest in the 96 Turner Motorsport BMW M6. That's it for the practice session. It's qualifying. When we come back this Thursday, Watkins Glen International live on IMSA Radio on IMSA TV. Join us then. Bye-bye.
This programme is a radio show limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.